Yeah, I thank Jeff for inviting me.
Our final presenter is Dave Barcel.
Yeah, Jeff had asked, you know, can you come in and give kind of an upbeat talk on how you got to where you're at? So 10 minutes, 50 slides, I'm ready, Jeff. No, but I do thank the Society for inviting me in, because I'm the odd duck in the group here, because I do have a lot of similarities with the folks in here and getting to know people. Jeff, Holly, Peter Petrocek, many people have been in my pathways over the years, and it's just been a tremendous ride for me. I don't think I would have done it any other way. So in the 70s, I'm actually high school, 72, so we had Gordon Lightfoot, a little Canadian action there. You know, the Moody Blues, a little Dead. Medicinal plants were active back then. Now, it wasn't me, but people I knew. Earth Day was, you know, up and running. And you know what? A lot of folks were getting into horticulture at that time. I actually came out of high school. I loved electronics, so integrated circuits were coming on. No calculators yet. Everything was slide rule at that time. But I had one problem with electronics. I'm red-green colorblind, so those of you who know about resistors, all the ohms are color-coded, and so red and green's not one of my strengths. So I go into horticulture with green colorblindness. Went into the University of Minnesota. It was actually the Northwest School of Agriculture. It's up in Crookston, northwest part of the state. A lot of certified bluegrass up there, sugar beets. But it was a great opportunity for me in that the class size was small, and so we had great one-on-one teaching. My soil professor up there, Claire Stymus, said Maine campus would be great for you. You know, I did well up there, but he actually said South Dakota State would be a nice place. Again, small size for classrooms, a lot of one-on-one. So I went to South Dakota State. In fact, Jim Klett was my advisor, professor, and again did well. Wanted to stay in horticulture, but picked up an education minor. So I came out as a VOAG teacher, and that was an eye-opener. In 1979, my 12-month contract, I don't know if I put it up there, but it was grades 9 through 12 for $9,300 a year. And you were also FFA advisor at that time, so you had student projects, and you were quite involved. I found out one thing about being an FFA advisor. I don't like drooling things. So we had a trip. We had a field trip. Take the ninth grade class to the ABS service in Wisconsin. And there we soaked up and learned how to do artificial insemination. And I really learned this is not what I wanted to do. So I decided to stay with plants. And there's definitely a lot of beauty there. So I went from teaching in grades 9 through 12, VOAG, and went into the industry, and what a great ride. I would not have done this any differently if I had a do-over. But started up with a company back then in the early 80s, 1980, went to ChemLawn, and there was a division starting up called ChemScape, Tree and Shrub Care, and there was just a handful of us that started in that market, and it was taking care of pest problems for homeowners. I was a hose jockey. We sold the contracts to maintain properties. We filled the trucks. We maintained the trucks. It was A to Z, and it was a real eye-opener, and I'll tell you what, you learned a lot. You learned a lot about the kinds of pests that attack landscape. Did very well. We moved 5 times in 7 years. I would start new markets, move on, start. Ended up in California. Company got bought out. Game over. Could have stayed. They wanted me to move down to L.A. And at that time, my wife said, you can move there, but I'm not. Again, 5 times in 7 years. So had to do something. Mortgage, you know, California mortgage, couple of kids. And so worked with a production nursery, learned California plant material. That was bought out. That was a game over again. And then ended up in distribution. And there I got to learn the products. Despite what ChemLawn, ChemScape may have used, they actually used pretty soft materials. But then I got a real eye-opener into what ag or HortChem distribution is all about and the products that are utilized. Did very well there. In fact, getting to know people. One man in particular, Don Grivna, was Dow Elanco, and he was a person who connected me to Uniroyal. They were looking for someone to do research work out in the western states, and they wanted somebody that could do PGR work. And so I, knowing the growers and what their needs were, got involved with some trials with distribution reps. So my name was thrown in the hat. Lo and behold, they were interested in me. And this whole new career of field development work took off. And it is something that I'm still with today. I love it dearly and would not trade it for anything else. So Uniroyal Chemical, at that time we had Paclobutrazol, known as Bonsai. That came from ICI America, Zoecon. It worked through the channels and ended up at Uniroyal. So some of the early work that I did with Bonsai for the western states was redoing the rate recommendations for impatiens and geraniums. You know, we learned real early you can reduce plant size to a desirable height or you can make boutonnieres out of things. It's a very active material. But a great ride. In fact, one of the projects I had was bifenazate or fluoramide for us, acrimite on the ag side. We actually got registration in California before the other states, which is not normal, but great product and a nice project that I worked with. From there, Uniroyal went through a number of changes, game over again. They went through Crompton Knowles, Chemtura. They decided to get out of the ornamental business. And so the sales, R&D staff, the product line was all let go. Fortunately for me, OHP picked up that product line, and I moved over as their development rep. So I'm currently now with OHP, which was formerly known as Olympic Horticultural Products. The Olympic Committee didn't like that, so that cease and desist letter hit home, and so we are known as OHP. I'm working as senior tech manager, work out of my house in Wisconsin, but my sandbox is coast to coast and border to border. So I put in about 100,000 miles a year flying and 15 to 20,000 miles driving, putting out trials. Putting the trials out isn't the hard part. It's getting back and getting data, collecting that data. That's the challenge. But I will admit my next employer is probably going to be Social Security, so you all find jobs, please. We just heard it before. Your best vocation is your passion. Getting paid is one thing, but if you really enjoy your work, go find that. That is a true blessing. So as I mentioned, I am a product development rep. My background, because of things done previously, herbicides and plant growth regulators is what I do best. And so that's what I focus on at OHP. But as we also heard, sometimes you have to wear other hats. And so getting out into insecticides, fungicides, whatever these other projects are, don't be afraid to take those on. You're going to learn new skills, and it's always something that will come up later on in life somewhere. My role is to support sales. We have to sell products. I admit it. We have to make a buck at what we do. But it's important for us to help the growers. They have problems. We need to solve them. And so R&D, technical development people are very much involved with the marketing side and getting products out into the field. It goes hand in hand. For me, and I think for a number of people, being willing to relocate just opens up so many doors of opportunities for you. If you're going to stay in a particular area because of family and friends, you'll pigeonhole yourself. And do it while you're young. Get that experience. And don't be afraid to relocate because you will find new adventures and new challenges and new people to associate with. Don't be afraid to start at the bottom. Whatever job it is you do, do the best you can at it. And I think employers are going to recognize that. Be willing to take on what may not be in your comfort zone. I think we heard it earlier. Sometimes you may be challenged with a project that is out of your comfort zone, but people want to see how you deal with that. And you may not, you know, get the right answer, but how you put and connect the dots together to get a project off and running is really important. And there'll be people that will help you along the way. Avoid WALL-E. I just saw this the other day. So, yeah, people that are successful start early. So WALL-E wants to start early and finish. Can you read that? Yeah. So I don't know about others, but it's not an 8-to-5 job. We're sometimes 24/7. Customer has a problem, you got to run out, see what's going on. You may have your regular field work to do, but then you have customers to take out for dinner, or maybe you have meetings that you have to go to. So 8-to-5 just is not the norm, and I think we know that in the field of agriculture. And you have to have some fun at it. So for me, I was at a herbicide trial I was doing in Tennessee, and we're driving along, and I said, stop, I got to get a picture of that. So what is the weed there, what's the prominent weed there in the middle of the picture? Come on, you guys. Why, of course, it's common nightshade. That is not a prop. That was out there. I couldn't believe why. No. So, I appreciate the opportunity to talk today, and very much I think field development people are in a niche that we tend to wear a lot of different hats, and the skill sets are wide. And I think I made a comment, but having key specific traits, skills is great, but being a damn good generalist is hard to find sometimes, and you wear so many hats, so don't be afraid to take on some of these other duties. And with that, I thank you very much for your time. Ten minutes.
That's perfect.
It's, I nailed it.
One question?
Sure.
It seems like everyone who talked today has at least some point in their career been an applied scientist. Is that important for industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you right now I'm working with Indazaflam. It's a new herbicide, Bayer chemistry. It's been my project from the start, so with a lot of learning going on. And I'll give you an example of the applied side to help growers. Herbicides do one thing really well. They kill plants, right? So growers that use herbicides, they're recycling their water. Water coming back, what's the chance I'm going to be killing my plants? Well, okay, so Indazaflam is not very water soluble, but how can growers determine that? So I'm just thinking outside the box. There's one plant that it kills in parts per trillion, that's duckweed. So I'm thinking maybe that could be like the canary in the coal mine. At parts per trillion, you'd probably get a pretty good indication if there's something in the water there. So just talking with James Altlin, USDA, another friend in the industry, maybe we'll come up with some kind of bioanalysis system where a little one-page you could give to a grower and say, hey, this may be a way to do an in-house study to see if you have, Indazaflam coming through the system. Hopefully not, but it's that creative thinking that just makes things practical and applied to the real world. Not that lab stuff isn't important, but things change. You get out away from the lab, and but it worked this way in the lab.
It seems like a lot of our speakers today, you have the aptitude for the fundamental research. You have fun doing the applied research. But one of your themes on everyone's talk really is on communication and being able to speak to that science and speak in a way that, from a relationship standpoint, speak freely and with your passion. In Spanish or French or English or profanity, whatever your language is, of choice.
Very true, Jeff. Very true.
Listen, guys, I want to thank you guys for stepping up and telling us your stories. Please, as soon as you get some of this, grab these people, see them in the hallway in a polite way, and tell them what you think and talk with them. The part of this also is so that you guys know who's in the ASHS. So if you see these old folks, us old folks, I'm only 29. If you see these old folks in the hallway, you can talk to them about what they do and what you're interested in. Hopefully you grab something out of this. Thank you, Amanda, for keeping us on and doing what we do. And Angela, we're going to get you. She's going to be the incoming VP, so she gets to work with everybody next year.
We can all thank Jeff for putting